Bucks winning with backups. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston today to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Damian Lillard has been limited with a hamstring injury and marveled how backup guard Kevin Porter Jr. took over the game after being traded here from the Clippers.
I think, first of all, it was fun to watch. I think when you are a star in this league, a lot of times the weight of the game shifting is on you. KP scoring, from being able to see him since he was in high school to college to even, you know, his time in the NBA, I've seen him many times have huge nights.
Kevin Porter Jr., nicknamed Scoot, on what it's been like since he arrived in Milwaukee.
As soon as I came in here, I felt very welcome, and that's big, that's huge, especially when you got people like Giannis, Dame, Doc, a winning organization, you know, the fan base, you know, how Milwaukee has welcomed me, and it's been beautiful, honestly, so I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
That's Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A blast of spring today. Under mostly sunny skies, high temperatures soar to the low 50s. But it's a bit breezy, with a west wind whipping up to 30 miles per hour. It will become cloudy tonight, with lows falling below freezing. And another mild day tomorrow, with highs in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 45.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome RogerEbert.com film critic Mariah Gates for some Oscar talk, and entrepreneur Chad Franker joins the show to talk about a new program to combat loneliness.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Monday, February 24th. Today, the average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin is $3.17. That's actually down a penny since Friday. However, the average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $6.11. That's 13% higher, 13 cents rather, higher since Friday, 45 cents higher than last week.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We have a lot of things coming up for you on the show today. Emily Zephos will be here at 10:33. She's a big proponent of public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And justifiably so.
Yeah.
And she got into it a little bit with one of our lawmakers who decided to step into her personal social media and start a fight.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Not the smartest move, but...
Didn't seem to go well.
No.
But we'll have an update with Emily Zephos coming up after 10:33. Next hour, we're going to start off at 11:06 with bad banks.
Yeah.
Some things that banks want to do now under the second Trump administration that, I don't know, call me crazy, don't necessarily seem to be in the consumer's best interest. I know that's shocking.
Yeah.
Also next hour at 11:21, just briefly, we're going to do Sycophant Olympics. I'm concerned about Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers getting left in the dust Because they're not sucking up enough.
Well, I mean, honestly, after this after this weekend's town halls, I would say those swords were falling down pretty hard. So.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Also, daylight saving time, my friends, March 9th, daylight saving time kicks in. Yes or no? The eternal debate goes on. A lot of strong feelings on both sides about that. I certainly have mine.
Oh, I know.
Daylight saving time, yes or no? That's coming up at 11:33, and we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, Calvin found this one, the Cheetos Art edition.
Right now, there's nerds all over the state going, what? Cheetos Art? What does that mean?
So stick around for that. That will come your way around 11:51. As you kind of hinted, Greg, we did want to talk about some of the less than warm, shall we say, reception to some Republican lawmakers who decided to do the really scary thing of venturing out and talking to their actual constituents. Scary times. Yeah. Scary times out there.
Scary times if you're a Republican elected official.
New York Times headline reads, Republicans face angry voters at town halls, hinting at broader backlash. We did talk about this a little bit on Friday.
Yeah.
Because Scott Fitzgerald, who knew he was still around? We never see him.
I was surprised. Like, if you put three people up that old name, like, my name is Scott Fitzgerald. My name is Scott. I would have no idea who Scott Fitzgerald was.
Yeah. He's back. Well, he was for one day.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's never going to happen again. We have a little clip from Scott Fitzgerald holding his town hall. Calvin, can you play that little supercut for us, please?
When will you stand up to them and say that is enough?
If there were Trump voters in the room, none spoke up in support of Trump's first month efforts.
The end result of the fraud and abuse that has been discovered already?
Fitzgerald says there will be oversight by Congress.
Certainly the discussion in and around Doge, and with the probationary moves that have already been done, they're going to have to be scrutinized at some point by
that's your job.
No. By the Ways and Means Committee, where the expenditures would be made, and by the other standing committees. We're not in that position right now.
There was a clip that was not in there that said that he has not been briefed also on Doge. So riddle me this. One, how are you going to hold any committee meetings on Doge if you have no idea what's going on? And also, do you really expect Elon or any of his little minions to walk in the door with, you know, boxes of information with details showing their work of what they have done in the light of all the firings? And also, if you find there are problems, are you going to reinstate all the jobs? I mean, this is just Scotty too hotty.
Well, the fact that he said he has not been briefed on Doge says a whole lot.
Yes.
And he doesn't seem particularly bothered about it either.
He's not bothered about it at all until they start asking questions.
Yeah, we don't like the questions.
That's your job. That was one of the best responses, because it's true.
That was courtesy of TMJ4, by the way, reporter Charles Benson, who was the only one there for that particular event that was held outside of West Bend on Friday.
Very, very, very Republican West
Bend.
Very
red. Absolutely very red. And, of course, Glenn Grothman also ran into some less than happy constituents when he held his town hall at the Algoma Town Hall just outside of Oshkosh on Friday morning. We do have a couple of clips from that as well. Calvin, play clip number one from Wisconsin Republican Glenn Grothman.
President Trump has issued a lot of executive orders. I think by and large, this is moving very quickly compared to other administrations. And I think across the board, he's done some very good things. I think. He's gotten rid of birthright citizenship.
No, he hasn't.
In the Constitution.
Yeah. All right, Glenn. He's been briefed on the Constitution.
It's illegal as hell.
It's, I mean,
It's in the Constitution.
You thought he got rid of birthright citizenship, Glenn. I found a clip of him just being booed from his car to the door. I mean, these men, these individuals, I mean, I'm sure all state, like across state, but specifically, these, not popular.
Well, and I think they were genuinely surprised.
Yes.
I do. I think they were genuinely surprised to see that many people turn out and to have that many people who were unhappy with this. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't disagree that our government can be smaller.
Yeah.
And that there is waste. I don't think that anybody disagrees with that. I think the way you go about identifying that fraud
yeah.
is it's a much more surgical procedure than just coming in and axing everything.
Well, I mean, first of all, there's a couple of things that really stick to my mind here, because one, in the Scott Fitzgerald supercut, we hear Charles Benson say, if there are any Trump supporters in the room, they didn't say anything, which to me says Trump supporters don't really care about the actual
outcomes.
The outcomes. They don't care about the process itself. They just love seeing that Elon's got a chainsaw and Trump's saying we're winning and all that stuff. If they were really that involved and that invested in their party, in the solutions, quote unquote, the solutions they're proposing, they would be there defending Scott Fitzgerald, Donald Trump, and going not fighting them, but like there would be a discussion happening. But they're not there because I don't think they really care. Also, if there is bloated spending, there's always bloated spending in government. It's a bureaucracy. It employs so many people. But if there is actual fraud, I mean true fraud,
which is a crime.
That's a crime. Then we need to know about that right away. There's a reason why, as Scott Fitzgerald, we have standing committees. We have to go through the process to make sure these things are done correctly. Because if, let's say, Elon Musk fires a bunch of people that wasn't supposed to be fired, well, are that lawsuits? Are they going to be hired back right away? Like, this is not how a government is supposed to run. Not this quickly. Not this quickly.
Well, and not by using a chainsaw.
No.
I mean, good heavens. If you're on social media at all, on Twitter or even on Blue Sky, over the weekend, there have been people now who have been let go under Elon Musk, because essentially he seems to be the one who's running everything, mm-hmm. even though he wasn't elected. The guy is like, I'm a Trump supporter and I'm a veteran, and I did not expect that this was going to affect me.
Yeah.
Jesse Waters was on Faux News saying, I have a good friend who's a veteran, who just lost his job, who's been doged now, is apparently the term. Yeah, he needs his job back.
Well, he's not going to get it back.
Well, these moves affect actual human living, breathing beings.
Yeah. We have John Kay in the live stream saying, I was at the Town of the Algoma one and could not get in because there was a capacity of 99. At least that many combined left were outside or drove by and did not find parking. Grothman seemed shocked when the booze rained down while he walked from his chauffeur Dodge Rebel pickup truck. I mean, this kind of goes along with what we were talking about before. These are guys who didn't have to really work for their jobs before because their districts are
so safe.
But that might not be the case. At least, at the very least, people are keeping an eye on them because they have to answer for the work that's being done in D.C., Elon can do whatever he wants, go home, have a kid on his shoulders, whatever. But at the end of the day, these cuts, these actions by the Trump White House have to be explained by sitting elected representatives from D.C. in their districts. And I don't think, as you said last week, I don't think these town halls are going to last much longer.
It will never happen again.
Yeah.
They will never come back out in public unless it is a very specially yes. curated mm-hmm. group. Invitation only. If you have a question, you're gonna have to submit it in advance.
Yep.
This is not gonna happen again. They're not used to this. They don't like it.
No.
If you were at either of these meetings, we would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. Scott Fitzgerald talking to constituents. Also, Glenn Grothman, if you're there, like John, who texted on the live stream, we would love to hear from you and what you got from the crowd. What was your feeling? And what did you take away from this? 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She don't mean no harm, she just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says. Jane
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mock, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Emily Zephos is going to join us. She has been a Democratic candidate, and she's also the county chair of the Outagamie County Democrats, very much supporter of public schools, and got into it a little bit with one of Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers. Interesting way to go about talking to your constituents.
Yeah.
Although maybe that's certainly much easier doing it on social media than actually having to show up in person, as discovered by a couple Wisconsin lawmakers, Scott Fitzgerald and Glenn Grothman. Both last week held town halls where they got booed and were facing some pretty angry constituents, not just in Wisconsin either. Pete Sessions, who is a Republican who's been in office for like three decades, he also had a little meeting with his constituents. I believe it was on Friday. I think it's important. I just want to include this. Quote, "I'm not going to tell you I will never touch Social Security," unquote. I think it's important that people hear that. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you I will never touch Social Security. What I will tell you is that I believe we're going to do, for the first time in years, a top-to-bottom review of that. And I'll come back, I'll do a town hall and put myself before you and let you know the options. I don't know what they're proposing right now. Well, at least from a couple of things I saw over the weekend, they're considering a means test for Social Security, which isn't an entitlement. If you want to do a means test for someone like Jeff Bezos,
yeah,
that's one thing. Should Jeff Bezos really get Social Security?
No.
Does he need it?
No.
To live?
Never.
But I have a feeling those aren't the folks they're going to be looking at.
No, they're going to look at poor folks.
Yes, most likely they will. If you were at either of the listening sessions with Scott Fitzgerald or Glenn Grothman, we would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. John from West Bend, listening on WAUK. According to Grothman and Fitzgerald, Musk is not running things.
Hmm.
Talk about delusional. Not wrong there, John.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Luann Bird is on the line. Good morning, Luann. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. I attended a listening session. I think it was organized by Working Families Party last week. And it was Brian Stiles. St. Francis. There were about 30 of us there, his aide came out, and we were able to share with her how we're feeling and how we want Brian Stiles to represent us and to stand up to these cuts in programs. And most of the people there were affected by these federal programs, like the Section 8. They're worried that they're gonna die if these programs, SNAP programs, Medicaid. Right. So Brian Stiles, we show up at his office or at that session. And then I see he sends out this email where it looks like he supports people with disabilities. And then I hear they're proposing the budget to cut Medicaid. So I would suggest to your listeners, like we're doing here, you don't mess with Grandma Lou here. We're going to go to his office in Janesville if he will not come to us and meet with us. So I think we can't just say, oh, they'll never do that again. We have to demand it. We have to start putting more and more information out there showing what he is not doing to represent us.
Luann, I'm curious.
It is still up to us.
It is, absolutely. You're right. It is up to us. There is no one coming to save us except us. Luann, did his spokesperson have an explanation on why he could not attend his own listening session?
No, we didn't really ask that. No, we didn't really ask that. And she never really responded. It wasn't as much a Q&A as it was just listening. She was there to listen to our concerns. And then people went in one-on-one with her to have a conversation.
Interesting.
It's not perfect, but it's something.
Yeah.
And I left there feeling so good because, first of all, I learned other people's stories and how they're being affected by these cuts. I got to be in community with people that felt the same way I do. So I think there's still a lot of power in showing up like that. But that's not the only thing. We also have to do the letters and the calls, and we have to protest. We have to do it all right now. But I do, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, Luann. And thank you so much for calling in. And thank you for being as active as you are and getting out there and doing the hard work on the ground. And as you say, this is something we're all going to need to do. And I get the temptation to say, yep, they're not going to show up anyway. So whatever, call their office. And that's making a difference.
Yes.
Because I've seen a number of articles over the weekend. They're like, they're overwhelmed by the number of calls that they're getting, and that's a good thing. And we need to keep that up.
As Randy Manner said on our show a few weeks ago, if you don't call them and tell them this, they don't know what you are thinking.
Right.
They can't assume that you agree or disagree. So if you call them and simply say, I disagree with this, they will then know. And if an overwhelming amount of people disagree, it could sway them. I can't guarantee it. I don't want to sound naive and say, oh, of course they'll vote against her for, but it is definitely something to do, and it won't take you very long.
Nope.
Always be nice and be polite to the person you're speaking to. We did get a text message from Sue in Franklin listening on WAUK talking about a woman who was dragged out of an auditorium.
Yep, I saw it.
I'm looking at this right now. Yes. Yep. She was
physically dragged out
for speaking up. Because why? They're afraid their Medicaid is going to get cut. This is real people.
Yeah, most definitely. If you do not know where to call, myvote.wi.gov. Mm-hmm. Myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, type in your address, hit enter. All of your elected officials will come up, including all of their phone numbers. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of it.
Yep.
Give them a call. They work for us.
They work for us.
Ostensibly.
We pay them.
We do pay them. Oh, and by the way, I want a report from each of them every month that they're not working to find out what they're doing, because apparently Elon thinks that's really important. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From the center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden has filed for the impeachment of a federal judge who issued a preliminary injunction against Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. The injunction stems from a lawsuit filed by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and other states to stop the group from accessing sensitive Treasury records, including Social Security numbers. Musk called for Judge Paul Engelmayer's impeachment the day after the injunction was issued, and on Tuesday, Congressman Van Orden introduced the bill. UW-Madison officials once more are asking for permission to tear down the campus's deteriorating humanities building. The State Journal reports campus officials have been asking for a complete demolition of the Moss Building for over a decade. The brutalist-style structure was built in the 60s and is crumbling on the inside with elevators out of operation, leaks in classrooms, and malfunctioning HVAC. The price to tear down the building and move the arts and music departments is nearly $300 million, and it's unclear if that money will make it into either Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal or the budget that the Republican-controlled legislature will approve. One of Madison's area's largest employers has plans to again expand its campus. Medical records company Epic Systems is requesting the city of Verona approve a new building to handle conferences and meetings. Styled to resemble a building sticking out of the ground, the Deep Earth Conference Center is expected to hold meetings and host events outside the company's massive annual conference. Epic has been in constant expansion in Verona for the past decade, with buildings that resemble Harry Potter's Hogwarts, Emerald City from The Wizard of Oz, and a large treehouse. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have two children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A blast of spring today. Under mostly sunny skies, high temperatures soar to the low 50s. But it's a bit breezy, with a west wind whipping up to 30 miles per hour. It will become cloudy tonight, with lows falling below freezing. And another mild day tomorrow, with highs in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll look back at the weekend headlines with our friend and contributor Matt Flynn, an attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to talk about big banks and how they would really prefer that you not move your money to a different bank.
Wait a minute. Are you saying big banks don't care about me?
Well, no, they care. They like your money. They just would like it to stay where it is. And then also next F hour, Sycophant Olympics. I'm really concerned that Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers are going to lose out in trying to kiss up to Donald Trump. There's other lawmakers across the country who have some ideas on how to flatter the big guy, which he loves. And our guys, Tony Weed and Brian Stile and Glenn and Scott, they're missing out on an opportunity to enter the Sycophant Olympics. So we'll talk about that next hour. Right now, we are joined by public school advocate and former teacher and very much involved with the Democratic Party in Outagamie County, Emily Sifos, is joining us. Good morning, Emily. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me this morning. I'm excited to chat with y'all for a minute.
Right before we went to the news, Emily, we were talking about how important it is to contact our lawmakers, because if you don't say anything, they just assume that I must be doing a good job. So it really is important to call or text or write a letter if you really want to cut through and let them know what you think. Brian from Milwaukee, I just wanted to share this, Emily, before we move on. Brian from Milwaukee texting in, I agree we all need to get involved. Reach out to your representatives. Get involved with and support the ACLU and ACLU Wisconsin. Plus, I always tell my family and friends about the amazing work Civic Media is doing. Thank you. Brian, thank you very much. Word of mouth is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really helps. So if you listen to our network, if you listen to a show, if you can spread the word, that would be fantastic. We would really appreciate it.
Tell one person.
Yeah.
And then one person will tell that next person and so on and so forth.
And so on and so forth. Exactly. Emily, though, we wanted to talk to you in particular. You got some attention all of a sudden.
I find myself in these situations. Yes.
and all you were doing was sharing your personal experience on your own social media, correct?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you went to a town hall meeting and then take it from there.
Yeah. I encourage accountability for me is key, especially with our local lawmakers. So whenever they offer you an opportunity to sit down and talk with them or hear from them, like take them up on that because there aren't enough of them.
Yep.
And it really is important to know where they stand on things and ask them questions when you can. So that's what I was doing last week. Our local representatives in the state Senate and assembly side had a joint listening session. And it's ahead. They do this because it's ahead of the budget cycle starting with all of the different things that we'll see coming the next couple of months.
Right.
But I went to it and it was a pretty, in politics today, it was pretty tame as far as the whole hour and a half session. But afterward, actually, is when I was approached by our state senator and kind of like just berated for a good 10 minutes about like my stance on our public schools and things like that. And it was a really pointed and aggressive conversation that kind of like happened outside of it being the full room.
Right.
But I was like, wait a minute, like we need to call this out. Like if you're gonna, there were things that were said and I was just like, we can't not, you know, push back against the rhetoric that I saw coming directly at me.
So you have a special needs son.
Yeah. And a lot of the conversation that people were concerned about at this listening session was about the state of our public schools. So it's Public Schools Week, Appreciation Week here in Wisconsin. And I'm a big advocate for making sure that we're fully funding our public schools because they are the system that exists to make sure that every single kid can reach their full potential. And so there were a lot of questions happening last week about that. And I always share, and I'm very transparent about the fact that I've got two kids that go to a private school system. My youngest son, like you said, has an IEP. So that's an individualized education plan. And he was denied like admittance to a private school system because they can do that legally. And so he goes to a really incredible public school like nearby because they're not, it's not the legality of things when you're private versus public are very different.
Yes.
And I was trying to point that out to her. And basically what happened afterward is that she was like, tell me why you send your kids to private and public schools. And then proceeded to kind of malign our public schools, saying that we should have more vouchers so that more kids can, you know, escape this system and go private. And it was just when she's helped, you know, making some of those budget decisions, I was shocked at the bias that she brought to it and that she doesn't understand the real need that these communities have to have strong public schools. So it was really... Yeah.
Does she not understand that private schools can refuse anybody?
You know, when we were talking, I don't think so. And I don't think that there's, you know, unless you are a teacher or a parent, frankly, of a kiddo with an IEP, like you don't understand all of those intricacies of how our schools function. And for me, I don't, you know, like I think that we black or white this too much where it's like you're either pro-public or pro-private.
Right.
My whole thing is let the schools exist. Parents can make those choices. But public tax dollars should go to our public schools.
Yes.
Because frankly, when they're accepting every single kid and they can't say, no, you're a little too expensive or you need too many resources, we are not going to have you here. That falls to our public schools who are, you know, chronically underfunded in this state.
Yep.
And it was just really apparent at the lack of knowledge or understanding that she had about how this whole thing works. So
that's disturbing.
It doesn't surprise me that she's not aware. A lot of people aren't aware. When you try to tell people that, you know, people who are gung-ho for school vouchers and, you know, choice, when you tell them you're funding two school systems, your tax dollar, the money doesn't come out of the magical private school voucher sky and fall into the laps of the bursars at these schools. That money comes from somewhere and it comes from our pockets. And now we're funding two school systems. And if these individuals who are advocates for school choice are saying, we'll send them to the private schools. We'll give them school voucher money. Well, eventually, all schools will be public. Like these private schools will be public schools because we're paying for them, essentially. You know what I mean? Like if we're sending all of the kids to private school through the voucher
money. They'll be public, except that they have the right to turn kids down.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's not the same standards. And that was my big thing because it doesn't take into consideration kiddos that have special, you know, learning needs and also like rural districts that don't have transportation, for example, to private. Like it doesn't work. We cannot like dissolve and get rid of our public school system because we are going to leave swaths of our communities just up a crick.
And we've talked about this many times before, Emily, and you make such a good point. Tragically, once again, this is going to harm rural areas more than it does urban areas, because, again, the availability of private schools in northwestern Wisconsin just isn't what it is around Madison or Milwaukee or even Green Bay. There just aren't those options. You don't have four options. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there are different reporting standards for public schools as opposed to private schools. Is that correct?
Yes. One of the things that was pointed out in my conversation with the state senator was that, well, they do better. And I'm like, show me a like side-by-side analysis with the same tests, right? that show me that across the board, our private schools are doing better, because the thing is that public schools are required to publicly put up their testing results. And you're also including kiddos that are English language learners. You know, like there are people that are playing, you know, they're being supported, but they're catching up to where they're supposed to be at grade level. So
sure.
You could imagine the averages would drop. But with our private schools, they don't have the same tests. They don't have to report them. And so when you say our kids are doing better at this private school, it's apples and oranges, because it's not the same test. And these, most of the, I mean, there are public or private systems that will publicly put out their test results, but a lot of them don't. But even when they do, it's not the same test. Yeah. So you can't compare the two.
And again, we go back to rules for thee, but not for me, right? Yeah. It's a different set of rules. Private schools have an entirely different set of rules that they have to follow, even though now they're getting all kinds of taxpayer dollars. Our public schools have to report to us. There is an oversight, but our private schools don't. Mm-hmm. They just don't.
And that's one of the things I said to her. I was like, you know, ideally, if the private schools truly want to make this more equitable and open themselves up to more kiddos being able to attend, then you're going to work on making sure that you have your physical therapists, your occupational therapists, your speech mm-hmm. therapists, your English language teachers, you know, like to support your student body.
Yeah.
Right. And then, or vouchers can come, I'm using air quotes. I know we're on the radio, but they can come from within the private school system. They're expensive to send kids to private schools. So from within that system, make those scholarships, get those grants to those kids that you want to extend, but don't have it come from taxpayer dollars.
What is the website where people can go if they want to check on exactly how much we're spending for our two separate school systems?
It's the Wisconsin Education Network. I'll put that link. I've done that many, many times. It tells you, you go directly to your school district, and it will tell you how much money is being spent for non-public school. Everything that's going to private school, special needs programs that are private, they're all line items right there, and it shows where your tax dollars are going. And the other thing, too, I want to ask, because I don't know if I'm saying this correctly when I'm talking to people about this, but also the reimbursement issue, too, is that private schools get reimbursed more for special needs than public schools to a tune of like 90% to 10%.
How is that justifiable?
It's 90% to 30%. Governor Evers in the new budget wants to increase it to 60%, which would be incredible. But like we're looking, you know, like in that, Greg, like kind of plays into referendums, right? Like when you're eating into all of these costs every year and you only get 30 cents back on the dollar that you're investing in these kids. I mean, my youngest son sees 7 professionals to get him through a school week. Oh, that's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and you're making, and they only cover 30%. So they're dipping into their general education fund
to cover,
which means that they are category funds so that they don't have the money to be able to do everything else they need to do to retain their teachers and keep their buildings up to date and make sure that their technology is competitive. You know, like it's a disservice to Wisconsin kiddos. It's a disservice to like our economy, frankly, because we need these kids to be competitive and be good, you know, contributors at the end of it all. It's really just a sad thing. We need to invest appropriately. And part of that is making sure our legislators know how things work, or they don't.
That's so, Emily, stop. They should actually understand the issues that they're talking about.
And to the state senator.
I know.
And to the state senator, this is coming from someone who's worked in politics and campaigning. Don't go into their comments. Caps locks a-blazing to like try to make your point. You're never going to win this argument. The other thing, too, I think you said that was very important, Emily, is like this is not a black and white issue. I remember having a conversation many years ago with a public school teacher, union, like steward person who was, you would think that they would hate this issue.
Yeah.
Her whole thing was, it's not that I hate vouchers. It's that I don't like the non-accountability. If you worked on the accountability factor of it all, that could make leaps and bounds for these projects and to help these kids out. But when you don't, then where we're left here is we have lawmakers maligning the public school system and saying that private schools are the answer when we don't know. We have no idea.
Again, you got to show, as you like to say, show your work.
Show your work.
Show us where all the savings are. Hello, Elon. Take a clue. 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. What did you want to say real quickly, please?
Well, I would just like to say that I know that this voucher system basically hurts and, you know, defunding our private schools hurts the rural people the most. But yet they continue to predominantly vote for the Republicans. What is it going to take before they finally wake up and smell the coffee?
Good question, Cindy. I don't know that we have the answer to that. Unfortunately, it's going to have to affect them directly, I think. in order for them to wake up.
Yeah. And I think showing up, I am a big believer. You're seeing across the, things are going viral about all these town halls. Make that happen in your local community with your local legislators too, because too often they pass these rules from Madison and then none of us show up in district to be like, wait a minute, you actually did harm to us here and you deserve to hear about it. And that's, I think, what led to her comments on my posts and things like that, is that they don't get that a lot. And
right.
So it really like gets under their skin, and you hope that, you're bringing to light maybe some biases that they bring and some misinformation that they're operating with, and that we could get down the road and educate them.
Look at it as a public service. You are helping to educate our lawmakers on things on which they're making laws. Good for us. We're going to continue our conversation with Emily Zeffos. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important is it for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. That number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were just talking. Emily Zeffos is our guest public school advocate, a former teacher, and head of the Outagamie County Democrats. And talking about public schools and the difference between public and private schools. Now, Wisconsin taxpayers essentially funding two separate school systems because private schools get our tax dollars for vouchers. And yet, shockingly, they do not have to report. They do not have the same oversight that public schools have, which I would think should be a problem for all of us. I don't understand why they get this free pass. It's just like, just trust us. We're a religious school. We would never lie to you. Our kids are doing really well. Oh, okay.
Not a great track record on some of them, so.
No kidding. 855-752-4842. Jack from Racine is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Thank you. I really think it's true that we can't afford to finance two separate school systems, which we're doing. I know, and I'd like to look at where is the tax money going? I had a friend involved with a church that had schools. I'll tell you, they were very happy to get the money that they didn't have to spend on schools anymore back to spend on their religion, which to me, of course, violates the separation church and state, which I know we have to put up with until we get another Supreme Court decision someday, hopefully. But that's an amount of money which is coming back to the churches, and I think people need to realize that the money they used to spend to help their church schools now goes to the religion. The other part is there are private for-profit people in this. My understanding is that even when building new schools, they got special breaks and grants from the government to help to build the schools. And then following that, the money that's coming in is going into their profit line. Some people hire their family members and things in the schools, and the profit comes back in a number of ways. And I don't think there's been enough investigative reporting on what really is happening to the money that goes into the schools. That's
a great point, Jack. Really, thank you very much. I think one of the problems with trying to get an investigative reporter to look at this is because they don't have to, the private schools don't have to play. There is no requirement for them to report on those things, and therefore, they're not going to share that with the media.
Yeah,
I hired my cousin. He's not really qualified, but he's a good kid, you know.
Oh, you're from the press? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Goodbye. You know.
Cassandra from New London is also on the line. Good morning, Cassandra. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Cassie.
I had to jump in when I saw you were here. I was actually at this meeting with our the rep and the state senator, and I was appalled. She was very abrasive and aggressive in the way she talked to everybody, not just Emily in the end, but and it was incredible to me how both of these people did not understand, or at least, you know, feigned naivete, if you will, like that they thought that they, you know, oh, of course the private schools can take any kids. I have a kid with an IEP as well. And, you know, it was very frustrating to listen to them just be like, oh yeah, that's the private schools are doing great. It's wonderful.
Just take our word for it.
And exactly. And, you know, I brought it up and then, you know, dealing with the childcare stuff too, we talked about that. And, they made some other comments that were very disturbing to me in general, that they would be in charge of making these laws. And it was very disappointing. And I'm very glad, and I've told Emily this before, I'm very glad that Emily's out there advocating for everybody. She's definitely got me more involved.
That's so great, Cassandra. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And good for you, Emily, because that's incumbent on all of us now.
Yeah.
To do something. No one else is coming to save us. No one else is coming to fix democracy. We are democracy. We need to be democracy in action. And just briefly, because we're just about out of time, seven Western Wisconsin lawmakers, including Tom Tiffany, Derek Van Orden, Rob Sommerfeld, Treek Pronschke, Clint Moses, and Senators Jesse James and Rob Stepholt, all were invited to an event last week by the Wisconsin Farmers Union in Chippewa Falls, and not one of them showed up. Don't let them get away with that. You can call. You can say hello.
How do we do that, Jane?
You go to myvote.wi.gov and just put in your address, and that will give you the phone numbers and contact information from all of your elected officials. Take advantage of it. Be nice. Don't swear. I'm sure their people are like we are on this show. If all you have are profanities and insults, you got no argument. So bring something better than that.
Mm-hmm. But make your voice be heard, yep. Because if you don't, and frankly, like to the points that we keep hearing today, like, I mean, I will give them that in Madison or Washington, they're inundated with things, but they really need to hear from the people on the ground that are on the receiving end of these policy decisions,
yep.
So that they understand the impacts and implications of what they're doing.
And that they might lose their job and their 9-month vacations, which, by the way, now we want a monthly report on what they've done on their 8th month of vacation, because Elon's asking for it for on a federal level. I think we should be able to have on a state level too.
I love that.
Emily Zephos has been our guest. Thank you so much, Emily. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll get you back on very, very soon. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide. If you've got the app, we are global, baby. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From the center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, the U.S. Supreme Court prevents Trump from firing the head of a watchdog agency. Also, are we headed to a market correction? Plus, who are the leaders standing up for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy directed all employees in his department to respond to Elon Musk's directed email that requires all employees in the government to list 5 accomplishments or face termination. Other federal agencies are telling their workers not to respond. That contributes to confusion, says ABC's Karen Travers in Washington.
It's also important to note that when the administration has gone to court, they have actually said, White House lawyers have said in court, that Elon Musk has no formal or actual authority to make government decisions. They have said that he is operating in an advisory capacity, which would certainly indicate he doesn't have the ability then to just say over a tweet, a message on X, that people can get fired.
Ukrainian President Zelensky says his government hopes to sign a deal in Washington. Negotiators working with the U.S. to get U.S. access to Ukrainian mineral rights. Grammy winner Roberta Flack has died at 88. This is ABC News.